News from the Krabby Coffee Shop is brought to you by AimHighConstructionMN.com.
Welcome to News from the Krabby Coffee Shop with your hosts, Don McLean, from Jason and Alexis in the Morning on MyTalk 107.1, Garage Logic's newsman, Mr. FYI, John Hite, and the crabbiest guy in the coffee shop, Kenny Olson.
I'm just reading some voice to text messages here from my dad.
Oh, what a doozy.
Yeah. We had an early deer season up where I hunt here because the DNR has mismanaged the herd and they don't know what they're doing. So that's a shot right there. That was a shot. So what they do is they schedule an early deer season where we're supposed to thin the herd and shoot some doe. And this is, we do this in order to keep the CWD levels down, chronic wasting disease, which is a brain thing with deer that spend too much time together. Any hoodles.
Oh my gosh. Just like the people of Arkansas.
Right. Right. So we're out hunting on I think this was Thursday morning. We had a four-day weekend. And I'm, you know, half a mile away, and I hear a shot at, I don't know, let's see, what time did I send that? I sent him a text at 9:31 a.m. Was that you shooting? So I'm referring to a shot that happened probably an hour ago. Because I'm curious, my dad, and if he shoots a deer, I want to be there to help him find it and to field dress it and do all that because he needs a little help, and it's no big deal. But my dad, who, by the way, was on the cutting edge of telephone technology, he had a car phone in the 70s. And there was this, it was a regular looking phone mounted on the hump between the seats and a big box under the driver's seat. And, like, say he'd be in a restaurant, and the phone was hooked up to his horn. So if he didn't have the key on and he wasn't in there, the horn would go off, so his car would sit in the parking lot. So he's on the cutting edge of technology until cell phones came along.
Well, sure.
And now, like a lot of our parents, not that great at the cell phone. So, and every time he uses his phone, the first thing he does is he holds it up to his face and he says, "Okay, Google," and that somehow wakes his phone up. And then he somehow sends sends these voice to text messages. And I've been trying to decipher these for years, and they're pretty funny. But I got one after I, at 9:30 on Thursday, said, "Was that you shooting?" And at this point, I was already in my shop. Because there was nothing going on where I was, and I was going to move. But before I moved, I wanted to check in, see if he needed help. So I want you to, and I sent the message to both of you, and I'm going to read this, and I want you to tell me exactly what my dad said.
Oh, okay. Gosh.
Okay. This is really good.
Yeah, here's his response. Yes, both times. First, and there's no punctuation here, okay?
No.
So this is all one long sentence. Yes, both times. First, the first time, I shouted a doll with a fun, and I hit her, but she ran up the ravine. I tried to trail her. I can't, is too much work, and I didn't see any blood, but I know I hate her, so I gave up and came back to the sand. A few minutes later, 3 months later, three more came out from the slough. I picked out the doe, as in cookie dough, and I shouted twice just to make sure. She opened the oak trees. The two farms are still hanging around. Then after a little while, three more came out, and there's still nose in one was a nice doll of the 31W. One was a nice door. Hope you're coming. Three more. Here comes three more as a nice doll around the two finds that belong to the dead mom. They went back to the woods, but it's deer city here of the three. And then right away, a minute later, he follows up with, I got five here now. I, 79, I got another door. And come to think of it, when I went for the walk to find blood, the fun from the pair ran out of this nearby slough and passed me. I'm thinking she was with her mother near the soil. So what did my dad just say to me?
There's a lot of deer around him. That's all I really
Okay, so I think he shot a doe. Yeah. But she ran up the ravine, and then her babies came out. I think he's trying to say fawns.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
And then there were five fawns. Five babies.
Possibly.
Okay.
Yeah.
Could be. And then I really lose it with the numbers. I just know that it's dark and he needs help, and you need to go there, Kenny. Yeah.
And there's
a slough. Please do.
A slough involved, right? The slough is supposed to be slough, I'm assuming.
Slough
is slow, but it comes out in the text as S-L-E-W or slow.
So it says slough slow.
Yeah.
Slough or slow.
Yeah. So what happened is he shot a doe. He couldn't find it. Don't worry, I found it. Then he shot another one,
okay.
And just to be sure, he shot twice. He should have shot twice the first time, but he didn't, but don't worry, it's been found. The second one, he hit, and it was down, and then he shot another one. So he actually shot three deer right there, and we can party hunt, and he had a bunch of licenses and everything. So everything worked out, and everything was fine. And when I got over to his stand, I said, Dad, and he goes, the message? And I said, yeah. and I said, Dad, I am going to tell the world. He goes, don't show that to anybody. Don't show that to your sisters. Don't show that to your wife. Don't do it. And I said, Dad, no, the world needs to see this.
Yeah. Okay, well, then I have a question. So I shouted twice, means he shot twice, right?
Yeah.
Just to make sure she opened the oak trees.
I know.
What does that mean?
What happened is she fell down by, it's in a bit of a prairie where we've planted red oaks, and she fell down by.
I get it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wasn't there something about hate, too?
Yeah, I hate her.
Yeah, I hate her.
Not I hate her, but I hate her. I'm like, he really is after this deer. He hates her.
Yeah.
I know I hate her.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's a little harsh, Pops, but okay. And then here's another one I received Sunday. I was out hunting. I'm dropping some parks off for the John Deere and the snowblower on my tractor seat now, 5 minutes. Then I'm going home. I won't deer today, so let me know if there's anything I can do. Thanks. And that made sense to me, believe it or not.
You start to understand them, don't you?
Yeah. So
yeah, you do.
Am I the? And you know, speaking of parents and phones, I really needed to talk to my mom on Monday. I called her, I'll bet, 8 times, and at first the phone was turned off, so it goes right to voicemail, and then later in the day it rings and rings and rings, and I get a voicemail. Finally, at the end of the day, the roommate said, well, did you try her home number? I called the home number. She answered on the first ring.
Oh.
Your parents have passed, but Dawn, your mom, how is she with the phone?
The wall phone she still has?
No, the cell phone.
Oh, well, we forced her to get one when my dad passed away a couple years ago.
Yeah.
And we're like, Mom, if you have, you know, a flat tire or something, you need this. If it's dark and your car breaks down, just please. And so we forced her to go get one, and she was so mad at us. I mean, oh my. This is the problem. My brother-in-law is he'll just get what he wants and do what he wants to do. So they told her they were going to go buy her a tree, which they did. But first they went to the AT&T store and said, come on, we're getting you a cell phone. And she was like, what? She thought we were trying to force her to, you know, become Muslim or something. I mean, she's Catholic. She was like, what?
And then, like, you're going to move her into the old folks' home or something.
She looked so panicked. She was so mad. And inside the store, and her sister Kathy was visiting, my aunt, and they haven't spoken since that day because they got in a fight about it.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Now, oh gosh.
Is Kathy pro phone?
Yes.
Pro cell phone?
Kathy is pro phone, but Kathy is very different from my mom. Anyway, my mom got upset and had to leave the store because we were asking her too many questions about, because my brother-in-law and sister just put her on their plan. They're like, don't worry about the cost. He's right. Like, Mary, it's not no big deal. It's like adding $20, and we're we got a cell phone for free because I was gonna upgrade, so it's no problem. So she finally got past that a little bit. She still didn't really understand. But then we kept asking her, "Do you want this feature? Do you want that?" The thing that set her off, that made her go outside, is, "Do you want a pop socket?" Which is the thing on the back of your phone. Just one of these where you could hold on to it. Oh, she didn't know what a pop socket was, and she goes, I don't know. I got to get out of here. So she went out there, and she was sitting on the, just pouting, sitting, and she was upset because my dad had just passed away not too long ago, so bless her heart. And then my Aunt Kathy, who's her older sister, went out there, and she's like, Mary? What is wrong with you? And she goes, you don't understand. My mom's like, everything is different now. And you don't understand. Yeah. You know, and my she goes, you don't know what it's like to lose your husband. And my aunt did lose her husband. And she goes, yes, I do. And I was raising three boys. And then she stomped back inside. And my mom was so upset. Oh, my gosh. But my mom does have a cell phone now. So,
I know that's a long story, but... No, I absolutely understand her point of view, and it had to be... It was just one of those small things that turns out to be really, really traumatic because it wouldn't have happened if
she
your dad would
so
have been
upset.
There.
Yeah, I mean, they were married forever, and, you know, it just
so
was...
So now, has she adapted to the cell phone?
No, let me read you a text.
Okay, so does she do voice-to-text, too, or does
she
actually...
Does.
Okay.
Did I read this already to you? Do you remember me reading on this podcast? I get confused about the shows.
I don't care.
Okay. I don't, yeah.
All right.
I have no, I don't
Okay,
care.
So we talked about the vodka. Do you remember that story about the vodka that was buried in the haunted houses?
Yes.
That you could buy. Okay, so she said, she listened to the podcast. She said, here's a weird story, as I say, crazy mom. I was listening to your podcast, and you were talking about this bottle of vodka, and I was thinking, how creepy and gross. Never thought about it again, but the next morning on the way to work, I always say a rosary, and when I was getting into the car, I thought, who should I say the rosary for today? And usually somebody pops in my head, and sometimes a reason why, but yesterday morning, Dawn pops in my head, and a bottle of vodka, the word demon, what the hell? I said, okay, I'm going to say a rosary for Dawn, just in case it was a real message.
Oh, man. I think I love your mom. She reminds me of my mother-in-law.
Oh, you would love my mom. She is so unintentionally funny.
Yeah.
Does
she play any games or anything? Because my mom, she admits, I don't understand how this works, but she has found a way to play solitaire on her phone.
Oh.
And she'll play, and no other games, just solitaire, and she'll play that for hours.
She doesn't do games, but she does. My brother-in-law showed her TikTok, so now she sends me TikToks all the time, which I don't even want to be on TikTok. The last one she sent is of a priest, and it says, the title is, People Think I'm the Only Catholic Priest on TikTok. So she follows this priest. I don't know what it says because I can't open it because I don't have that on my phone, that spyware.
Do you guys have, I have a brother who's, I think he's 71 years old, and he's not great with electronics, but he's okay with his cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
But he also sends voice text messages, and he will not proofread them or anything.
No.
And they make no sense half the time. And if I call or send him a message saying, "What the hell are you trying to say?" he gets very angry with me and takes it very, very personally.
Oh no!
If I question it, so I have to try and figure it out without.
Well, the one I just read, I had to read three times because it didn't have any punctuation.
Right.
Yep. Yeah.
It's great.
Oh,
we've had great fun with Sushere because. He's pretty inept with the cell phone too, and we've recorded him and put it on YouTube and all of that.
Oh boy,
we should teach him how to do voice to text. It would be a lot of fun to get
Lord.
Those angry missives from Joe. Listen, you SOB, start paying attention and rah rah rah. Where were you today? And oh my God, it'd be fun. Anyway, oh, that's boy. All I brought to the show.
Okay, that's it. Well, sure. Goodbye, everybody.
No, actually, there's something Ross sent us. And Ross, by the way, you sent us a bunch of stories, and I
thank
guess you
thank you
don't,
very much.
Yeah, yes, thank you, especially this week.
I also need to chastise you, young man. Don't be sending me any stories about people winning the lottery. Nothing makes me more angry than having to read that some jackass wanders into a store, buys a lottery ticket, and the next thing you know, he's got $100,000. Don't. What are you doing to me, Ross? What?
I'm letting you into my personal misery because when I worked in lovely Winter, South Dakota, as my buddy once coined it, where civilization goes to die.
One
of the biggest Powerballs in history was the ticket was purchased in Winter, South Dakota at a station I used to buy Powerball tickets at.
No.
Like 6 months after I moved back to Minnesota.
So
I always thought that was somebody's way of telling me, you could have won $500 million if you just stuck it out in South Dakota for another 6 months.
A loser from winter.
That's exactly it.
Very good.
That's exactly it. So noted as we begin to come together as a staff on this soon-to-be-very-successful spin-off pod.
All right, that's enough, Ross.
Soon-to-be-successful.
We're done with you now. Okay, but a backpack, back pat to you, Ross, for sending this Dubai Eye story. Did you see this, Don?
I did. Yeah.
It's almost double the size of the London Eye and can welcome 1,750 visitors at a time. It's a Ferris wheel, though. Officially the world's largest and the highest Ferris wheel, standing 820 feet tall. It lets tourists see the sights from up above. It's blah, blah, blah. They go on and on and on. It's breaking records, and we all know how they are in Dubai. Everything's got to be the biggest and the best in the whole wide world if it's Dubai. But what really caught my eye about this story is at the bottom, the related stories. Did you guys see this?
Oh, I didn't look at those. No.
I did.
Okay, all right.
There's three, and I didn't bother looking them up, but it's just wonderful, the juxtaposition. Related stories. First one. Hero ride operator falls while saving kids trapped on Ferris wheel, miraculously survives. Second one, girl, 10, injured after plunging from Ferris wheel. It was just really scary. And the third,
yeah, I guess.
The third one, three girls injured in a 40-foot fall from the county Ferris wheel.
Ooh.
Now, this reminds me, and John, I hope you can help fill in the blanks here, the Royce story where he took his two kids on a Ferris wheel.
I don't recall this story. No, not at all.
And they get up to the top, and I guess they stop these things to load, right?
Sure, yep.
So, and Royce's afraid of heights. And they get up to the top, and these two kids are sitting in a chair rocking it back and forth. And Royce is holding on for dear life, saying, "Stop rocking!"
Oh, my gosh. That's his voice for sure.
Which I thought was really funny until a couple of years ago. I'm in Colorado. Steamboat Springs. I'm in Steamboat Springs in the summer, July 4th. And we decided to take the gondola thing up to the top of the mountain.
Mm-hmm.
I think the gondola ride, and I'm not a downhill skier, but that's got to be more frightening than the actual skiing part down the hill.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
Have you been in one of
those? I have been in one of those. I did it in Switzerland in the Alps.
In the Alps?
Ooh, and I was like, are we sure this thing is okay? Because it looks like it was built in the 50s.
How long
ago has it been where they've checked this line?
Right. It is not right, Don. And every time you get to a tower, you go up and there's a clunk, clunk.
And then you fall
a little bit and go back up. And both Ben and I are sitting there. My son, we're sitting there and we're just terrified. And I'm telling him, just look up, Ben. Just look up. Meanwhile, the roommate is up on her feet, walking back and forth and taking pictures. And this thing is rocking back and forth. And we were scared to death. And the ride back down, twice as terrifying. I've never been so scared in my life.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
So you do roller coasters.
Oh, I love them, yeah. And there's a new one, actually, that they have just put in California, Six Flags Magic Mountain in Southern California. It's going up next year, and it will be the world's tallest and longest single-rail roller coaster. So it's going to be called the Wonder Woman Flight of Courage. It's probably going to be better than the terrible sequel of the movie, The Wonder Woman. That was the worst thing I've ever seen. So this means that it will be 3,300 feet of track, an elevation of 131 feet, an 87-degree first drop.
Oh, 87-degree.
And speeds of up to 58 miles per hour. So this now will make Six Flags Magic Mountain in Los Angeles the park with the most roller coasters in the world.
I'm trying to find, I want to see what an 87-degree drop is. Oh, my God. How, there's got to be G-forces involved there, right?
Sounds great.
How does your face not peel off? What's wrong with you, Dawn?
I skydive, so that's 125 miles an hour that you're falling, 120 miles an hour.
Really?
Yeah.
Aren't you just covered with drool by the time you get down?
Well,
aren't your lips flapping
around? You've got to make sure and close your mouth because you'll get bugs in your mouth. If you're smiling really big, you don't want to do that. It's not a good idea. Yeah, keep your mouth closed. And then some people wear full helmets, like motorcycle-type helmets that are for skydiving. I don't like that because I like the sensory feeling of, you know, I have a basically a shield over my face kind of helmet. Yeah. So I don't like the feeling of being cut off. It makes me feel a little panicked to have my whole head enclosed.
Your thoughts, John?
This entire conversation is making my knees so weak. I can't stand it.
Same here. At some point, I really something changed. I used to go to Valley Fair and I'd ride that old rickety wood roller coaster, and I thought that was fun. And then they put in something where you do a loop to loop thing where you're upside down. Yeah. I rode that thing like 20 times in a row. Thought it was the best thing ever. I can't even watch it now. It's upsetting to me. You go to Disney World a lot, Dawn. Mm-hmm. Space Mountain. I did that thing like 5 times in a row the year it opened. It was amazing.
Do you have back injury now? Because that thing is really bad for your back. It's an old one. Yeah, it's in complete darkness. If you've never been on Space Mountain, it was like the biggest, best roller coaster back in the day.
And Dawn, what I remember is you're up at the top and you somehow can see people way down there, just barely lit. But you'll be going down and you think you're going to take a sharp right turn.
It's all pitch black, yeah.
And you take a sharp left turn. You never know what's coming.
Yeah, it's just, it's supposed to be like space. So you see little planets up there and stuff like that. Here's a fun fact about that, because I went on a tour with a tour guide. Yeah. This last time I went, and he said that when they made it, just to have the model of it up there for planets, they used a chocolate chip cookie in just to say, okay, this is going to be a planet up here, just to do a scale model, you know?
Oh, right. Yeah,
then they just decided to leave it. So it's like a picture of a chocolate chip cookie. It looks like a planet, but it's actually a chocolate chip cookie inside. And our tour guide told us where it was. Like, it's the third turn, you know. And so we're like, there it is.
There's the cookie.
Yeah.
I spent, Kenny, much like you, about 4 years where I just loved roller coasters. Go on them all the time. And all of a sudden, I hit a day where I said, I don't ever want to go on a roller coaster anymore. Because I did all the Valley Fair stuff, and I was working for the FM station there over at Hubbard where we work, so we had a lot of things where we had listeners. We'd go to Valley Fair, all of America, and we had to ride the coaster to raise money for charities. So I did all that, and I loved it. We went to Vegas, did the morning show there. I rode the New York one, which was a blast. I loved
really?
It.
Really?
That's expensive.
But the station paid for everything.
Oh, that's good.
So.
It's $20 a ride.
Yeah, I just hit a point where I went, I don't need to do this anymore. And I haven't done it in probably 20 years.
And ever since your heart episode, you've developed a thing with, what's it called, where you can't be enclosed?
Claustrophobia. The Ferris wheel deal there, definitely. As soon as I thought of Ferris wheel, I thought, you're not putting me in a little cage thing where I can't get out.
Oh.
No. Can't happen.
So there's a brand new car wash in Alec, the kind that pulls you through. And every station, there's a different color. And so the first color is blue, and there's suds all over. And I know it's supposed to be cool, but it's absolutely nerve-wracking.
Yeah.
And I can see myself headed to that point, and I don't know what happens in life where you just turn into an old fart and you can't handle anything dramatic.
Do you feel sick? Like, because I've heard that that starts to happen. As you get older, you get, like, sick on just because of the inertia and, you know, the roller coasters. Not to say that you're getting older.
Yeah. No. Especially John. He's really, really old.
I'm really old, the car wash thing happened to me after the operation, too, when I started getting a little claustrophobic. And now I have, I mean, it never bothered me. Now I have to turn on the air conditioning full blast because I will go to 150 degrees and just panicky as hell.
Oh.
Yeah. So I turn on the air conditioner. I close my eyes. I try to look at my phone, you know, just see if I get anything.
Oh, my gosh.
Just so I can ignore everything.
Just have
that's
a dirty car.
On. Yeah, well, I haven't washed it this year yet, now that you brought it up.
Oh, my gosh, wow.
So, and another deal with me is heights. I'm, and it's progressively gotten worse through life, but I can still, like, go snowmobiling out to the mountains, to the Rockies, and go up to 10, 12,000 feet and stand on a precipice and look down. But if I get on the roof of my house, I'm scared to death. And I can climb these mountains on these snowmobiles, and, you know, it's a hell of an incline. And I actually find it more difficult going back down.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because things get really interesting going down.
I did but some. Anyway. I did for Chris Eggert, who is one of our news guys here, 5 Eyewitness News in Minneapolis. He could not participate in this rappelling thing for...
Oh, right, because of his pirate leg.
Yeah, because... Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I didn't want to say that, but yeah.
I'll say it. We're buddies.
Juvenile diabetes, that's what he was raising money for.
Yeah.
And I believe his son has juvenile diabetes. Yep. And so the thing was is that he was going to rappel off of, like, I don't know, Capella Tower, some super tall building in Minneapolis, and he knew I was a skydiver, so he said, will you do this for me? And I was like, sure, I'd love to, because I'd never gone rappelling before.
What is wrong with you?
Oh, my gosh. That was not fun for me. Yeah. I was terrified. Yeah. And it's
you have to crawl over the edge, right?
Because you have to crawl over the edge, and it's slow. Yeah. It's a slow descent, and that's I just like to fall. You know what I mean? Like, I just want no control. You know, it's just like the free fall, I have way more control over because, you know, you have your the thing that you slowly rappel down with. And I felt like I was gripping that so hard. My hand was bruised. And I was terrified because it was just so slow. And I would rather, fall at 120 miles an hour because I feel like I'm in more control of that because I can control when I pull my parachute. I know when. I'm looking at my altimeter, you know. It's that was so scary. I got down and I didn't say anything to anyone, but I was like, I am never doing that again. I will give some money to this organization, but no, will not be rappelling.
What about the deal where you get on a little seat and you take a rope ride across the river? Didn't they do that for the Super Bowl? What the hell is that called?
Oh, ziplining?
Yeah,
ziplining.
I don't want to do it across water, but I love ziplining. That's fun.
Really?
Yeah, because it's fast.
Wow. That seems
I must just be a chicken. I don't want to do
any
of this.
Adrenaline.
Adrenaline.
It seems just, to me, as dumb as bungee jumping.
Oh.
That seems like you're just... You're really asking for it, if you ask me.
Yeah.
You know, if that bungee breaks, there's nobody to blame but yourself.
Yeah,
right?
You won't have time to think about it, though, really.
But it's got to be the going over the edge and then the point where you let go and commit to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just got to be.
Yeah, the rappelling wasn't cool. I didn't like it. But I have done bungee jumping.
Really?
Yeah.
We've got nothing in common.
Oh, my God. That is John, so wrong.
John and Kenny, how do you guys do on flights with your heights?
I
just rhymed.
Yeah.
I have to pregame quite a bit. Yeah. Yeah.
I used to love to fly, and when I got the claustrophobia thing, the idea terrifies me.
Yeah.
In fact, my wife and kid are going on a vacation this week. I'm not going with because they're flying.
Attaboy.
So.
I don't blame you at all.
Sometimes when people go away, it is a vacation, though, isn't
it? Yeah, well, it's not the flying that bugs me. I love the flying part. It's the fact that I'd be in a tin can with a bunch of people and I'd have no escape. That's the part that bugs me.
Okay.
Oh, for me, it's the takeoffs and landings.
Oh, I love that, actually.
Yeah, no, going down the runway full throttle, I'm like, no, this ain't going to happen. Yeah.
Tire's going to blow. No.
Yeah, no, this ain't going to happen. And one time we skidded off, when I was a kid, we skidded off the end of the, I've always flown non-rev. And when you fly non-rev, you just try to get close to home.
What does that mean, non-rev?
I've had family in the business, so you just pay the taxes on the ticket.
Yeah. Got it.
And you don't have to pay full price, right?
Mm-hmm. No,
so,
I don't know. I don't know what
that's
like. So
we're trying to get home, and it took us to Milwaukee. And we get on the ground and keep going off the end of the runway because it was snowing.
That's not good, right?
It's the takeoffs and landings. You know, people get nervous up in the air, but honestly, it's the takeoff and landing where people have the most it's the most chance that you're going to not have a great flight.
And you fly in those cruddy little airplanes that you jump out of that don't have doors on them.
Cessnas, yeah. Little Cessna. They do have doors, but it's really every time I haven't done this in a very long time, but they do have doors. But what the pilot will do to open the door is that he will dip the airplane down, and then the door will come open. And when that happens, I always get a little bit of a scared feeling. And I told my jump master that. He was our instructor. He's a military guy.
Yeah.
He's like, what are you afraid of? And I go, falling out.
Falling out, yeah.
He goes, that's what we're doing. He's like, come on, warrior. He used to call us all warriors.
Ooh, yikes.
Come on, warrior. And we're not static line jumping. This is free fall from like 14,000 feet. So,
In my 20s, I worked as a news photographer for, I don't know, 6-7 years. And I used to get a lot of small plane rides where we'd shoot video of stuff. And helicopters. So that was I enjoyed that a lot. Like I said, it was before I had any of these issues. But one time we were doing a story on an old fellow who built a glider in North Dakota. I was in Bismarck. So they said, we're going to send you up with the camera. And this is, the big old video cameras.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
Right. Big
heavy
thing.
Yeah. We're going to send you up in, it's a Civil Air Patrol plane with a pilot. And it was two open seats, you know what I mean? Like the old-fashioned open-seated planes. You're in back, shoot all the video of the glider you can. So, great, okay, go up there, and everything's fine, and the glider would go in and out, and every time he would dip, the plane would stall.
Oh, Christ.
So I would hear
the engine.
The first time I heard the engine go off, I said, what is that? What is that? He goes, oh, don't worry, it happens if I go steeply. He said, it'll start right back up. And it did every time. But scared the living hell out of me.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah. But, and he was, he was an old codger with a beard who just probably had been flying since he was 20. He was probably 60 years old.
Those pilots really think they're funny. I got news for you. That's not funny. Because
no,
I was
that's
in a little,
not funny.
I was in a little four-seater like that as a kid with my buddy and his dad. And my buddy Rudy goes, let's stall it out. And I'm like, what the hell did you just say?
Let's not.
Yeah, and Kermit says, okay. And he pulls back or pushes forward or whatever the hell he did. And the plane goes straight up in the air. And then all of a sudden, boom, engine dies.
Yeah.
And the nose falls. And then it starts again.
That's not cool. I don't like it.
That is not cool.
The other fun thing about those trips was it was North Dakota. So, of course, we were always landing in fields. I didn't know at the time. After the first time, I thought, this is easy. And it was. But the first time he goes, we're going to land right down here. You kind of go, really? Are we? Are you sure? And he was fine, fine landing.
The local guys here in town, and they finally sold their airplane a couple of years ago. I don't know what they're called, a baby something, cub something something. But it's just a two-seater.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. One seat in front and one seat in back, and then a door that you can take off. Those guys are always doing that, putting it down on lakes in the middle of the winter and fields.
Yeah. Oh, God, I'm going to have a... Ugh.
My grandpa evidently would go up with them in the 50s or whatever and shoot fox from up in the air with the door open.
Oh, my gosh.
Is that legal?
There's no way in hell that could have been legal.
No. They'd have to make a special law for it just because of your grandpa.
Yeah. And then they had skis on it, so then they'd land and pick it up and off they'd go again.
And still keep it running probably. Just scoop it up with a net.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. You know, there's not a lot of laws out here in the country, Dawn. We can get away
with it. I am still blown away that there's no law as to it is now time to go out on the lake to ice fish. We have measured the lakes, and now is the time that it's time for you to do this. There is not, and I was so shocked I had to have somebody tell me multiple times that no, there is no time.
Oh, every lake is different.
Well, I know, but can't we take the deepest one and say, all right, this one is the thickest?
No,
and
so some lakes have springs in them, and so all the locals know, you don't go out past that point because the springs in the lake keep the ice weak. You know, or if there's a lot of snow on the ice.
I don't want to talk about this anymore. I don't know why. Dawn, why did I bring this up? I can't.
If there's a lot of snow on the ice, it'll actually push the ice down, and then the water will come up, and it gets really sloppy.
Oh, why are you laughing?
For some reason, that doesn't scare me at all.
A lot of
rules there. Let's just not go on the ice. That's the way I'm going to look at
that. Let's have a plan, please.
There was a story this week that I read from one of the news outlets. I'm trying to find it. It's all over. But it talks about Barron County, Wisconsin.
Reminds people.
Maybe you guys talked about this.
We did.
The ice isn't ready. And the image is, I feel bad, but it's hysterical. There couldn't be more than like a quarter inch of ice there.
No, there wasn't any ice.
Don't show me that. I don't want to see it.
And they had their fish house attached to the car.
That's a practical joke. That didn't happen.
Who saw that and said, "Oh, this looks. I think we're good to go."
Is it fake?
Yeah, it's a fake story. There's no way that. Yeah.
Well, they wasted a good pickup caddy. Is that what you're saying?
They're saying for a prank to get in the paper.
There's just no way I can possibly believe that. I just can't.
Oh.
I mean, even blackout drunk, you're not going to do anything like that.
I was going to say, remember, it's Wisconsin, and the authorities did say alcohol was involved.
Yeah, it is Barron County. Speaking of Wisconsin, Aim High Construction, MN.com, they're based out of Minnesota and Wisconsin. You can get on the list right now. These guys, they can tackle just about any job that needs doing, from small little jobs to big commercial jobs, roofing, siding, remodels, decks. At my house a couple of years ago in Minneapolis, we had them put in a brand new kitchen, a brand new deck. They had they did some concrete work for us, installed a new AC unit outside. They're absolutely one. They actually found me a stove. I couldn't find a stove because of a weird size. And he's like, no problem. Keith, one of the guys, found it, put it in. New hood, new vent hood. Everything was awesome. These guys, they really are good. But here's the deal. They've been with GL now for a couple of years, which means, you know what happens when you sign up with GL? You get really, really busy. And that's the case with Aim High Construction, MN. So you got to get on the list, especially if you have an indoor job, something in the basement, upstairs, refinishing something. Get on the list for that. And then start thinking about next spring and summer. What needs to be done around the house? And the time is now. Call them now. Go to their website. Check them out. Their work is guaranteed. You'll find them at Aim High Construction, MN.com. Okay, now, John, did you see the paper on Sunday?
I did.
I normally don't buy the Sunday paper because I hate the news.
okay.
But I did just by coincidence. And as I was working my way back to the crossword puzzle, guess who I saw on the above the fold on the cover of the Variety? Miss Dawn McClain.
Yep. Oh, yeah. I was in the paper. I actually forgot about it, and we had to leave a block party barbecue, which was no problem for me because I was like, let's get the hell out of here. I don't know these people. No, but we're like, oh, my gosh, we have to call, you know, the grocery store and ask them to hold us a couple because I have to cut it out and send the article to my mom.
Right.
Because
right.
That's what my mom loves to cut out articles from the paper and send them to me. So yeah, it was about our paranormal team and the investigation we have coming up at the Lexington restaurant. It was in the Food Writer actually did an article on us.
Yeah, and covered a bunch of different spots around town. And I know for a while, like a month ago, you were worried about ticket sales. I don't think that's a concern anymore, is it?
No, it's sold out both nights, like for weeks now. Yeah. I apologize. You know what? I hope some GLers are there because we talked about it early on this show. So if you are a fan of this podcast and you listen to the Krabby Coffee Shop, please come up and say hi to me because I want to meet any weirdo that listens to this.
See, now that's the complete opposite. That's the opposite approach I would take. I would kindly and gently ask people. I'm not good. I'm not good socially. Maybe just
leave me alone.
Wave from afar.
Oh, no. Give me a sign of some sort. I don't know. Make a little turkey thing above your head in the crowd. I don't know.
So you're going to actually present evidence at these shows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I actually have some for us to play.
This
is not from the Lexington. This is actually, it will be better. We had a lot of visual evidence for the Lexington, things that we have camera video of. This is actually from a home in Rush City that we did, and this was very haunted. I actually saw the guy in my mind before we went there. It was that one.
Oh, I remember you telling me about this. I think off the air, maybe.
So we got, we usually don't get audio voices on our night vision cameras because the audio's kind of crappy, to be honest. We have voice recorders that are high quality, and that's what we use to record. But I got on this one camera 81 times where it spoke on the camera.
Wow.
So I have like a little clip for you here, and I just want to know if it... So you will hear us talking, and it's muffled. Anything up close that you hear, that's not us.
Wait, so wait a second, but you don't hear this when you're there?
No, it's not something, it's too low on the Hertz level for us to hear. They don't speak. Sometimes we do audibly hear stuff, very rarely, but they're speaking at a lower frequency or Hertz than the human ear can pick up.
Like Tom Waits or Miles Davis.
Yeah, but sometimes it's like a woman's voice. It's like, hi, you know, but this is all, I think, one guy... Or one male. And it's weird because it's like they talk to each other and they're also responding to what we're saying. You won't really understand what we're saying, but then you'll hear like them chuckling or making comments. Are you ready?
Play. Yeah.
Okay, here we go. Okay, so that's the last one. I should have boosted that a little bit more. I apologize, Ross.
Oh, my God.
So there's Brady, somebody on our team says, let's go upstairs, and it clearly says, make them fall.
Wow.
Make them fall. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. So the last one you heard, like, that really loud, that wasn't any of us. And any of the other ones, a little bit difficult to hear, but
So...
I can play it again if you
want.
You want
to play it again? Okay, so the first one is something about I love you, I think. Okay, here we go.
Oh, that gives me shivers.
He goes, oh, yeah, at one point.
Do you suppose that they get angry or uncomfortable because they know you're not just normal mortals, that you're there.
We are normal mortals.
No, I mean, you know, like the rest of us are just blundering through the house,
we're
walking around in our underwear.
Them.
You know, I got my finger in my belly button and a cheese sandwich and all of that. And, you know, completely unaware of their presence. Do you think they're upset because you are not unaware or you are aware of their presence?
Well, they're not always upset. You know, they this guy is just crabby, really.
Oh.
Yeah.
Huh.
This was, I don't think they're, I mean, we get a lot of ones where they will be, you know, they talk a lot to each other because there's usually more than one hanging out. You know?
What the hell?
So they'll say things to each other about us, you know? This guy was like, he was crabby, but then he had a sort of a conversation with us back and forth with our equipment at the end of the night that made us feel like he was more at peace. This was their uncle that passed away.
Oh.
So what I got in my head was, which I have had, they gave me full permission to talk about this. They signed a release, so I just don't like to say exactly, you know, you don't want to say where people live. The city's fine, but, you know. But so basically, I got a vision just all of a sudden, like a weirdo. I was in my garage putting on my shoes, and it was before, like, a couple of weeks before we did this investigation, and I saw this guy who looked like the, this is terrible to say, but he looked like the BTK killer. That same haircut with it, you know, around that, you know, that kind of balding. He had little glasses that he was looking over the top of. And he was like, basically told me, but he didn't speak it. I just got the message that he was hanging out there. This is like a man cave they made in their garage. It's really nice. It has a bar and it has like a TV. They go in there to watch football, smoke cigarettes. It's just their really cool, fun hangout place.
Right.
And it has an apartment upstairs. So he kind of let me know that he was hanging around there because he wanted to drink still.
Cool.
And I got the name Robert. And so I basically told them this. I said, I see this person, because they didn't know who it was. So when we came in for the first time for our preliminary talk, I said, I see a guy who looks like this. He is telling me that he's there to drink. And that he's not there to hurt you, but, you know, he's there to hang out, and I think his name is Robert. And they just freaked out. They were like, Uncle Bobby, oh, my gosh. And then they showed me a picture of this guy, and it was like the spitting image of what I saw.
Wow. Don, how can you live with yourself?
I don't know. This just started happening to me this year.
Don, this, there's something.
I've been a paranormal investigator for like 15 years, and so this has just started happening, and I don't know why.
This is messed up. Yeah, this is messed up. You're going to end up at the Twitch farm.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, the Twitch farm.
You know where I'm going? I'm going to a haunted prison in a couple of weeks for a vacation in Moundsville. Moundsville, West Virginia.
You know, I obviously I'm being crude, but aren't mental institutions rife with hauntings?
Yes, especially like old tuberculosis hospitals, also sanitariums where they locked people away that probably just needed medication back in the day. And there's one in particular called Waverly Hills. It's in Louisville, and that is very haunted. I've been there a couple of times.
Okay, religion and the lack thereof, or maybe there's ghosts there, maybe there's not. Mm-hmm. Does religion play into this at all?
Well, that's weird because I don't know. Like, we don't have all the answers to that. Because some people believe in demons and some people don't. But I say, if you believe in demons, you better believe in God. Because there's always an opposite to everything, right?
Yeah.
And if you believe in God, you should probably believe in demons.
Yeah.
But like Uncle Bobby, do we know, was he a religious man or not? Or was he...
That's interesting. He would not go to church with the family.
Huh.
He would stay home and they would go to church. Because I asked that question. Because we would talk to him about like, hey, do you want to leave this place? Do you want to move on? He was a little afraid to move on because he was afraid of maybe going to a bad place. because of things he did in his life. And then we sort of led him. We have somebody in our team who's way more, you know, sees more and does more with this than I do. And they can actually lead somebody to the light, which I don't see that kind of stuff. I don't have the ability to do that. So
I hate to keep hopping in here, but I have a little bit of an interesting perspective.
Sure.
In a past radio life, for 3-4 years, I produced a Christian talk show.
Oh.
And Pastor Guy's belief was that ghosts and demonic spirits did exist. But so his belief, not my belief, his belief was, they said Uncle Bobby.
Mm-hmm.
His belief was, that's more than likely not your Uncle Bobby. That's somebody who's claiming to be Uncle Bobby.
Okay.
And I'm
open to everything. I really don't, because who knows?
I always found that to be very interesting.
Yeah.
And again, I'm such a novice on this. I find this so fascinating.
We are a scientific team. So everything that I said about seeing Uncle Bobby, that is not what we do. We just throw that out. Like if I got there and that wasn't, we'd just throw it out. It's just a direction that we can take things now if we're, you know, like in the dark about what it could be. So, but we really do check everything by our, when we are calling out to him, are all of our meters going off? Is the temperature dropping? We have all kinds of instruments to scientifically,
right,
you know,
right,
get evidence for this stuff. And, you know, it's not just the feelings you get. We don't go based on feelings. I feel something's in here. Well, great, but can you chart it out for me? Can you prove it?
Right.
That's
right.
What people want. They don't. They just don't want to think that they are nutty, you know.
Do people, and I'm guessing because I'm going to ask the same question, I'm guessing that they would love to talk to Uncle Bobby. Like my grandpa mm-hmm. passed in his house here in the town I live in, and it would just be so awesome to talk to my grandpa.
Yeah, you probably can.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I would need your crew on hand.
I would do.
I mean, I can't
have,
just.
Yeah,
can't
I wouldn't
just
do it yourself.
Stroll in and summon my grandpa.
Where does he live? Did he live in the house that you're in now?
No. It's a different house here.
And
in town.
Does a relative live there?
No.
Okay.
No, but it was for sale for a while, and the entire family did a tour of the house except me. I wouldn't go in there.
Mm. Is it still vacant? I'm trying to get into this house.
Summer. they live in the summer and the winter they go to Arizona. You probably could.
Yeah, if we asked them. Yeah, because
and the house I live in now, it was my dad's cousin. I've always called him uncle, but he was obviously like a second cousin to me. He passed in my dining room.
Your current dining room?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh.
Well, I mean, you know, some of them just move on. You know, and I don't know where that is or what that is, you know.
Yeah, and that's why I asked the religion question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because everybody...
Because my uncle was pretty religious.
Okay, so everybody grows up with a different religion, and, you know, you just don't know where people are coming from. You know, they have these ideas before they die, you know, and we don't have the answer to that, because if we did, I wouldn't be doing this radio show. I'd be doing something way cooler than this, right? If I had the answer. But it is interesting to try to see if we can measure anything and get, you know, either calm it down or depending on what our clients want us to do, you know. But we can't promise that they'll leave. I mean, think, if you've been there for 200 years and then some idiots come in and they go to the light. See that light over there? Oh, yeah. That light? I've never seen it before. Thanks a lot. I mean,
it's kind of
not, you know, my thing, but still people want that comfort. And so that is not something I do, but we do have people on our team that do that.
Would you ever consider doing it for somebody in your family or in one of your family's properties?
You're not really supposed to investigate your own house.
Oh.
Yeah. That's why I told you not to do it, because you have to continue to live there.
Oh, right.
And so if it doesn't leave, or if you, you know, kick things up to where it's like really giving you problems, then what are you going to do, sell the house? So you just kind of shouldn't do it on your own.
Hmm.
But
John?
I have. I was just thinking, I have a place in my garage. I'll drink a couple beers, watch football or baseball.
Mm-hmm.
So if my wife came out and said, "What happened to all that beer?" I could just say, "Well, Uncle Bobby was really thirsty tonight.
Yeah.
What Would that work?
Sure. Yeah. I would say, hey, blame it on Uncle Bobby at all times. I had to make Uncle Bobby leave my house because he followed me home.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
He's lonely.
He just, yeah, he's like, oh my gosh, this girl's talking to me, and, you know, I'll just go home with her. So he was with around me for a while, and my roommate was out of town with his kids and had all the doors closed. This is a quick story. I closed all the bedroom doors tight, and I actually tested it. Like, can I open this just by pushing? Nope, I had to turn the knob. So I walked out of the bedroom in the morning, and wide open. The doors were wide open.
Wow.
And I said, oh, no. I go, you need to leave. I go, I told you not to follow me home, and you need to leave now. And then nothing's happened since. He was like, all right, I'll leave. Sorry. You have to tell him to leave if you don't want him there.
You are the most interesting woman in the world.
No, no.
That is fascinating to me. I don't know if I believe you or not, but I sure love listening to you.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You don't believe? What do you not believe? It's not going to offend me.
No, I know. I know. That's why I said it out loud. It's not that I don't believe you. It's just that I'm having, you know, I'm just blundering through life, just trying to get through, you know?
Yeah. You don't want to know this stuff.
Hoping there's enough toilet paper in the bathroom.
Yeah.
and to think that there's this whole other thing going on is a whole other world.
Yeah. Like another dimension right up next to ours. Hard to grasp.
Yeah, grasp and understand and accept. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I'm not here to prove to anybody that this is real. I could care less if people believe me or not. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't make me mad and go, you have to believe me, because I know.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
And I trust you, I guess.
Yeah.
You haven't done me wrong yet.
You should see some evidence we have. I'll send it to you.
And you're going to present some of this evidence tomorrow and Friday, right?
Yes. We have EVPs. We have, which is electronic voice phenomenon. That's the ghost talking. We have video, full conversations that we had with one in particular that is answering us through our meters and a flashlight.
Amazing.
Huh. Yeah.
Amazing.
They turn it on and off on their own.
You've got to do more of these, Dawn. Do more of these.
Okay.
Yeah, where you invite the public and show them and everything.
Oh, yeah. Mostly private residences because people, that's what we really do. This is that we go into businesses call us, we come in. And
right, and that was covered in the piece on the paper mm-hmm. on Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah. Even Such is fascinated by this. He goes, if you want to have a good podcast, you talk about that the whole time.
I wanted to do a paranormal podcast, and I got it approved, and then this dumb podcast came along, and they go, hey, yeah. will you do this dumb podcast with Kenny?
And I
go,
blundered in.
Okay, I guess, but what about my paranormal podcast?
You know what? You can have those guys on. I think it would be awesome. I would love to. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, John, but I find it absolutely fascinating.
Oh, sure.
It
is. I'm the same way you are. I don't know if I should believe Dawn, but it's fascinating anyway.
I know. And she's credible in my eyes.
She claims to have all the answers. Nobody has all the answers. Nobody knows. I think sometimes that I thought of this the other day that what if, you know, I do believe, like I'm a real nerd. I read about string theory, which is, you know, that basically we could essentially fold time over itself. So what if... There are a lot of ghosts from the 1800s. What if we are just a moment in time that's folded over there and they are having seances and they think we're the ghosts and we're talking to them and think they're the ghosts, but it's really just a folding of time. Because a lot of times they ask questions to us. And so what if they are sitting there as spiritual as you? I've blown your mind. What if they're not ghosts and it's just a... Yeah.
I feel like I just...
We need to end the podcast, don't we?
I took a hit of acid about 45 minutes ago.
Well, happy Halloween, everyone.
Right now.
Kenny's done for the day.
I got it.
Hit that music, Ross. Yeah. Let's get out of here. And special thanks to Aim High Construction, MN, for presenting news from the Krabby Coffee Shop today. And thank you, everybody, to listening. Four listening.
Thanks for listening to News from the Krabby Coffee Shop. New episodes drop every week wherever you get your podcasts.